Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this season that we can come to you and set aside a day where we can show our thankfulness to you. And Lord, how we as Christians should be thankful every day. And we thank you so much for our salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that you've given us to abide with us through these dark days that we travel on this earth. And I pray, dear Lord, you'd be with us today. Help us, dear Lord, to learn a truth from your word that we might apply it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're back over in the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 30 today. Exodus chapter 30 as we continue our study, as we look at the revelation of redemption through the book of Exodus, we are and now into the articles and the furniture of the tabernacle. And today we come to the second piece of furniture that you come to as you enter through the door on the eastern side, the gate of the tabernacle on the eastern side. And we begin in Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 17. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed, throughout their generations." That's Exodus 30, 17 through 21. Now go over to Exodus 38 and one verse here. Exodus 38 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So we know it was made of brass, and it was made from the looking glasses of the women. So once we have entered through the door of the tabernacle, and we've come through the eastern side, which we understand Jesus is the door, and we've seen that through the colorings and through the embroidery and through the tapestry and the clean, fine linen, we've seen that. As we enter in, we come face to face with the brazen altar. And once we have settled the justification of our salvation, of our sin, through the death and burial and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, then we could pass further on into the tabernacle. But we must first stop at the brazen altar. And when we stop at the brazen altar, we have now accepted by faith the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for ourselves. We are now in Christ. So it symbolizes you are a believer in Christ. At the brazen altar, as we looked at last week, those sins that we have carried with us all those years that we were lost, trying to do things to get rid of them on our own, trying to get rid of them, trying to appease whatever God we had, some form of idea in our lives, at the brazen altar, we come face to face with God. And sins must be dealt with and put away. They're put away under the blood. That's the blood of Christ. But as we now continue on into the tabernacle, it symbolizes the continuance of the Christian walk, the continuance of the Christian journey. Now that we are in Christ, by faith, we've stepped through the door by faith and entered at the brazen altar into an agreement that, hey, we can't get rid of this sin on our own. We need a substitute. And that substitute must be the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. Now it says, continue, continue. It doesn't say, go to the altar and leave. Now we continue, because as the priest continually served in the tabernacle, the priest and the tabernacle are a picture of the believer as they continue serving and worshiping God. So the new believer, the new born-again child of God there at the altar, is to go to the next step, and the next, and the next until he finally attains victory by resting underneath the Shekinah glory of God. And that's only in the Holy of Holies. But before we can enter into the very presence of God, before we can enter into resting underneath the Shekinah glory of God, and even thinking about entering into the holy place, much less the Holy of Holies, as we come from the brazen altar now to the next article of furniture, we come to the laver, there is no floor in this courtyard. It's all dirt. The rains, when they do come in the wilderness, would make it muddy. When the rains don't come, it would be dusty. And they're traversing back and forth from the courtyard, and their feet are getting dirty. So the laver has been placed with a purpose, of course. All items within the tabernacle are for a purpose. Now this laver is one of the few items in the tabernacle we are not giving any dimensions of. We know not its size or its shape, but it was a wash basin. Now in my mind, years ago when I first began studying this, I pictured the laver as like a big bird bath. But as I have studied through the years, I've come to realize that's not an accurate image. For if we come to the laver as a bird bath and we wash in the clean water of the laver, what happens to the water? It becomes dirty. And of course, the waters say it must be clean water. And you can't just dirty the water because the laver is a picture of the Word of God. We cannot contaminate the Word of God unless we try to change it. And of course, man is trying to do that today. So the laver was a type of basin, but it was mounted on a base, or the Bible says a foot. It was a pedestal or a base or a foot. And it stood there in that outer court right before the holy place. And we know it was made of brass. And it was kept filled with clean water. You go over into the dedication of the temple with Solomon, and we realize that it is a much larger vessel at that place, at that time, than it most likely was at the tabernacle. And the one there at the temple with Solomon had spigots or handles at the bottom where you could turn on and the water would come out as a stream of water. And the top would have been encased and a lid on it, and they could take it off so the water would remain clean. So we're given more description there at the temple side than we are at the tabernacle. So many conjecture and debate on what it might have looked like. We don't know. The Bible does not tell us what it looked like. Could it have been like Solomon's? Yes. Could it have been just a big basin with some type of covering so that the dust of the wilderness as it blew through the tabernacle would not unpurify, not dirty up the water? Yes. But it had a foot. It had a pedestal. It had a basin. So either the priest would come with a cup or a dish and they would dip out the water, or there was a handle where they could turn on the water and get the clean water, or somehow it fed down into that foot and they would take the water out of that foot. This doesn't really matter what it looked like. It's more important of its significance of what it did. Its function was the washing of the hands and the feet of the priest. They continually, as they are ministering the tabernacle with the service and the worship places of things having to go on within the tabernacle, at the altar, the brazen altar, the priests were justified once and for all, just as we are. And it was all based on the blood of the substitute. But as we come to the laver, we are now, just as the priest, were continually to go to the laver for cleansing, their hands and their feet. They are repeatedly cleansed from the defilement of the courtyard they're traversing. Be it muddy, be it dirty, be it dusty, they must clean their hands of the sacrifice, and they must cleanse their feet of the defilements of the courtyard. When they sacrificed animals, it was not a picture of beautiness. I mean, it was a bloody sacrifice. They would pour the blood at the base of the altar. Blood splashes in the ground, could have splashed on their feet. They had been defiled. They must be clean. Before they could enter the holy place, they must be clean. And they must do this hour by hour, day by day, whenever they were defiled. The altar, therefore, the brazen altar, therefore, speaks of justification. The laver speaks of sanctification. It was made of solid brass, we know that. We know that brass in the Old Testament speaks of the judgment of God. So the laver then typifies Christ, which we know everything in the tabernacle pictures Christ in some way. The laver typifies or symbols or points to Christ and His character as the judge. John 5:22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man." Look at this verse with me. I know I have read this verse and read this verse and read this verse, but as studying for this lesson, it just leaped off the page. In John 5, in verse 22, Jesus is speaking here. In John 5:22, He says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Jesus Christ is the judge. Brass in the Old Testament typifies judgment. The laver is made of brass. Christ is our judge. John 5:27, you're there. Look at 27. "And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Christ is our judge. In Revelations chapter 1, you start seeing Christ among the churches. He calls the seven golden candlesticks, and He is there seen among the candlesticks. In Revelation chapter 1, Christ is seen there in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, judging, inspecting. Because what does He do next? In the next couple chapters, He is writing, having John write letters to the churches, telling them that, "I've inspected you. I've been a fruit inspector. I've inspected you. I'm judging you. I'm condemning aspects of your ministry." Christ is seen here in the midst of the churches, judging, inspecting. And verse 15 says, "His feet were like unto brass." Thus the laver of brass presents the inflexible righteousness of Christ. There is no compromise with the righteousness of Christ. Condemning and judging sin of believers, but it doesn't stop there. The outer shell of the laver is brass, but it contains the clean water that was to be cleansed and cleaned and replenished daily with clean water. So yes, the laver is of brass and speaks of the judgment of God, but the water it held also speaks of Christ. For He supplies the way to cleanse us through the laver, through the water. He is our judge, but He's also there to forgive. And that's through the water, which is the Word of God. This laver was filled with pure water, clean water, the Bible teaches us. And water throughout the Bible is symbolic of the Word of God. So at the brazen altar, penalty of sin was settled forever. At the laver, as we progress as believers, the laver is the defilement of sins that we commit in our Christian walk can be forgiven and cleansed at the laver through the Word of God. You know, the laver speaks of separation from the world through confession of sin, cleansing by the Word of God. What did that verse say in Exodus 38 and verse 8 that the laver was made from? It was made from the looking glasses of the women, Exodus 38, 8. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling. The looking glasses were the modern day equivalent to mirrors. And mirrors back then were polished brass. They would just take brass and they would polish it and see their reflection. And that was their looking glass. What if we think of a mirror today from the side of the world? A mirror today, we look in it and we spruce ourselves up. We try to make ourselves look nice. But it can be gone to the extent of vanity. Can it not? A glorification of self, a glorification of flesh. It was a gratification, if you will, if you take it too far, of the old nature. A symbol of pride. It could be meaning that. The women of Israel were told to surrender their looking glasses, and they did. If we go back and weeks ago, we saw that the people gave, and the people gave, and the people gave all that was asked of them until they had to come and say, "You've given too much. Stop giving." So these women gave willingly of the looking glasses. The laver speaks of separation from the flesh and from the world. And from the old nature with its pride and its lust and its vanity and its habits and its sins. Remember, as we think of this, the altar represents Christ on the cross. His work as the substitute. The Lamb of God. The laver speaks of the Word of God. So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the latter part of that verse, the Bible says, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Without the Word of God, would we know what sin was? No. We need the Word of God to be our schoolmaster, to be our teacher, to instruct us, to help us to know where we have failed God. You know, the Word of God reveals our inability to live the Christian life in our own strength. As a Christian, if we begin to disobey God, we begin to play with sin on a small scale, and we continue in that journey, the reading of the Word of God becomes less and less every day. And so as we start moving away from God, and start dwelling in the things of the world and things that please the flesh more than the things that please the Spirit, what we are doing is neglecting the Word of God. Because the Word of God convicts. The Word of God draws us or tries to draw us back to Him, to Christ, to the walk. And so when we're playing in this sin over here, the least thing in our mind is to read the Bible. Because we know it's going to judge us for our sin. And it's going to convict us. And the Holy Spirit's there, "Hey, get back, get back, get back." Or Romans 3:20 emphasizes that in the latter part of that verse. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But even stronger yet, in the book of James, in chapter 1, and verse 23, it shows us even more of how the laver helps us as Christians. In James 1:23 or 22, we begin, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that's the Word of God, and continueth therein, in the Word of God, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, as the priest would approach the laver after being in service at the altar, and they come to the laver to cleanse themselves before they could go into the table of showbread or to the golden candlestick or to the altar of incense, before they could go into service into God, into the holy place, they must be clean. But there are no chairs in the tabernacle, no seats. And they can't sit on the courtyard because the courtyard's dirty, defiled. So when they come to the laver to cleanse them hands and their feet, they don't approach it to the point where I'm going to sit down. They approach it, and however they get the water out, either from the top or from the foot or from a handle or a spigot, they get their water. And when they do that, they have to bend over and wash their feet humbly before the Word of God, submitting to the cleansing of the Word of God, submitting to the authority of the Word of God. At the laver, well, let's back up. At the altar, after a person is saved, he must next be separated before he can go on to the service in the tabernacle. Before you can serve in the church, before you can serve the Lord in any way, you must first stop at the altar. For whatever you do in the service of the Lord without stopping at the altar is all the flesh. There is no reward for that. You must first stop at the altar and accept Christ as your Savior. Then you go on in Christ into the tabernacle to serve and to worship. And as you do, now, as we go through this world, we fail God. Don't be surprised, but we all fail God. We all fall into, we don't call it error, we fall into sin. We commit acts against God, disobedience against God. We are defiled by this world every day with things that are bombarding our minds and our eyes and our ears. We must be cleansed by the Word of God. At the laver, the believer finds his daily cleansing from the defilements. That's why we have in our Bibles 1 John 1:8-9. We'll show that in just a moment. But this stopping at the laver helps us realize to live a life of holiness, it's only made possible by the Word of God and a daily diet therein. You know something interesting that I noticed in the study of this? If you go back to Exodus chapter 30, I have read Exodus, I couldn't tell you how many times I've read. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I've read it multiple times. But as you study for things, the Holy Spirit draws key things out. You're like, oh wow, I've never seen that. If you look at verse 18, in Exodus 30, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Do you see that? Therein. So they're pouring the clean water into the laver, right? That's that word, therein. So we know they're understand when they translated from the Hebrew into English, we know the difference between therein and something else. They poured it into the laver. Okay? Now look at verse 19. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Not therein, thereat. They come to the altar and they bow to wash their feet, giving authority to the Word of God, to the laver, to submission. It's to a submission of life of holiness only by the Word of God. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We cannot receive sanctification without the word. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Do we want to be cleansed? Yes, by his word. Ephesians 5, 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by thy word. John 15, 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God cleanses us, sanctifies us. And all these verses that I read, these verses are for believers. For the unbelievers, first, are pointed to the blood of Christ. The believers are pointed to the water of the laver. Since no dimensions are given of the laver, I think if we would study these articles and these furnitures minutely, we would see many of them are giving very specific instructions on dimensions of how to build it. But there are some articles that are no dimensions given. The laver is one of those articles. Why would it be held out? God gave this to Moses. Moses gave it to the workers. Did Moses forget to give it to them? No. Did God forget to give it to Moses? No. He withheld the dimensions for a purpose. There is no command in the Bible to build the laver to certain dimensions. Remember, God's saying, build it according to my pattern, to the pattern that you have seen. Well, there's no pattern given for the laver. God's given some type of instructions made of brass, it's to hold clean water. So why is there no dimensions? Well, if we think of the purpose of the laver as the Word of God, as the judgment of God, but the forgiveness of God, the Word of God, as it forgives believers of their sin, is there any limit to its application? There's no limit to God's forgiveness, is there? Was there a limit to how many times the priests were to come to the altar or to the laver? No. Is there any limit to the amount of times that we can use John, 1 John 1, 8 and 9? No. It's limitless. There was no limit to its size or to the amount of water which it might hold, showing believers there is an unlimited supply of the cleansing power of the Word of God. We fall, we come to God and ask for forgiveness. We fall, we come to God and ask for forgiveness. We fall, we come to God and ask for forgiveness. And He is faithful and just to forgive us, is He not? As we have talked about, there's no floor in the tabernacle proper in the courtyard itself. So when the priests are doing their jobs and worshiping and serving, they don't sit down, they don't have these garments on that would protect them from getting defiled in their feet and their hands. Those are places of service. So their feet are constantly on the ground within the courtyard. They need cleansing. The service of the Lord demanded they must be clean. And that was taken care of at the laver. You know, that speaks to us that once we're justified at the altar and we're in Christ, we need cleansing from the defilements of the world and the sins that we commit. So 1 John chapter 1. And verse 8 and 9, I know most of us know it by heart, but it's always good to read it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That little word, all, is important. All unrighteousness. Unlimited forgiveness here is offered by God. And we can come as we are. We don't have to try to cleanse ourselves up to come to God to be cleansed. We come, the priest came defiled to the laver to be cleansed. We can come to God in our sin and say, forgive us, and He will forgive us. And lastly, as we see what they were to clean, they were to cleanse their hands and their feet. The purpose of the laver was for the priest to wash their hands and their feet thereat, not therein, as we've already shown you. The Christian life is referred to repeatedly as a walk. Throughout the New Testament, you see it talked about as a walk. Believers are told to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called in Ephesians 4:1. We are to walk as children of light in Ephesians 5:8. We are to walk in love in Ephesians 5:2. And we are to walk circumspectly in Ephesians 5:15, redeeming the time. To name just a few of the admonishments about our walk. In our walk, we fail God and sin. We get our hands dirty. We get our feet dirty. And we need them cleansed. So we need the laver, which pictures Christ cleansing us from the world's defilements and our failures. This cleansing was for the hands and the feet. The hands speak of our service, a doer of the word. The hands speak of our service. The feet speak of our walk and our conduct. So what is our lives? Let's make an individual. What is my life? What is your life? As a believer, what is in my life? What is in your life as a believer that robs you of your joy of service to the Lord? And what robs you of your joy of worshiping the Lord? Well, the Bible gives us an answer. In Proverbs chapter 28. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. The Bible says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." We have the laver before us. This is our laver, the Word of God. And we are to come to the laver daily, humbly, submitting to its authority and seeking forgiveness, seeking cleansing, seeking what we need to restore that joy of service and worship that we can now enter into the holy place, to the table of showbread, to the golden candlestick, and to the altar of incense, and then further on to the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, to the presence of God Himself. We cannot approach just the next piece of furniture. We cannot approach the altar of incense dirty, defiled, unclean. For the altar of incense speaks of our prayer life. The only prayer that Jesus Christ will hear as our mediator from a believer after you've already saved, the only prayer He will hear if you're in sin, is asking for forgiveness. For if there is sin in your life, that blocks those prayers from coming. He's waiting to hear that cleansing prayer. Lord, forgive me. I have failed you. And once you get that right, now you've got the golden candlestick giving you the light of the world, giving you the light. You've got the table of showbread where God can provide your blessings. and you can enter into the very presence of God. All these instruments are important for our daily walk. And we must stop at each one and realize their importance. I pray as we continue this study that you will realize the priest stopped at the laver willingly. And we too must stop at the laver willingly. We must stop realizing that we are defiled. We are unclean. We are not worthy to enter into the holy place. But God allows us. That symbolizes the service of God, the worship of God. I pray that as we continue this study, the Lord will open our eyes to see where we've failed Him and where we need to get clean to continue on in the joy of service and worship of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study. I pray that you would help us now to apply these lessons to our hearts and lives, not just to be hearers, but to be doers as well. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless the next hour. Bless our pastor. Give him exactly what he needs, dear Lord, filling, empowering with the Holy Spirit of God to bring forth, thus saith the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.